Hi everyone, it's Eli. You know how sometimes you stumble upon something truly game-changing in healthcare? Well, I found it. Kinetisense. This cutting-edge motion capture technology is transforming movement, assessment, and recovery. Imagine getting instant AI-driven insights without any wearables on your patient. That's right, no ping pong balls needed. Just pure, accurate data. Perfect for boosting athletic performance, pinpointing imbalances, and refining rehab. Top professionals worldwide trust Kinetisense to maximize productivity and results. Check out our partner page to learn more. Experience the revolution in movement. Welcome to Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More, the podcast that gives you a viewpoint in sports medicine that can't be found anywhere else. I'm your host, Eli Halleck, and we have a fantastic show ahead of us today. So let's get started. Welcome to Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More. Today, we have an intriguing individual on our episode. Really excited about this. We've been working on trying to get her here as a representative of what she does and how she's done it over the years. It's a very intriguing. I can't wait to get it going. So this is Ashley King Roberts, Talent Acquisition Coordinator for O2X Human Performance. How are you doing, Ashley?
I'm doing well. Thank you. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm almost caffeinated enough this morning. Not quite, but almost there. So thank you for asking.
Of course.
You have a very unique position in that you are now talent acquisition coordinator, but you really are an athletic trainer by background. And that's kind of how everything started. And you've had a very unique journey, one that's happening more and more in our field. We would love to hear about how your journey started, where you've been, and how you got to where you're at now.
Wonderful. Even as I am now in the headquarters side of things, that administrative work, I will always be first and foremost a true athletic trainer at heart. My story is I you know, was your typical student, if you will, of, hey, I'm going to do sports. played soccer, basketball, softball through high school. Loved my athletic trainer at the high school, but he was the older, wiser man that was sitting on the sidelines with a book. We had the STEM machine and the ice, and that was pretty much it. But he was phenomenal. He got to be around all of us all the time. His personality was just the guy you always wanted to be around, right? So you want, when you think of high school, of what you want to do in your life, you're like, oh, I want to be around sports and I just want to like hang out with my people. And that's kind of what he did. So that was the route I started in. As I went into college at Missouri Western, I thought maybe I would want to do physical therapy assistant instead. Thought I wanted to grow in more of that rehab setting, but was introduced to the athletic side more on that college setting with three amazing athletic trainers who introduced that realm to me, really, is Myron, Rachel, and Becky, actually. They let me start out as just your typical water girl. I would be able to apply the STEM pads and get the hot packs and the ice packs. And I, again, thought it was really cool being like the freshman that I was working with like the varsity teams of college. But that was really cool. And then I got to grow into that setting, really. You know, ended up becoming, as a senior, was the quote unquote lead student athletic trainer, which, you know, back in that day, it really means a lot to you. You know, it really boosts you up. And then you have a certain mentors, athletic trainers that are overseeing you that are like, hey, you really need to go into like master's program. This is your niche. When you have somebody telling you that, it really kind of sparks you and like, yeah, you're right. This is something I really want to do for the rest of my life. So fortunately, I was able to get into University of Central Oklahoma with Jeff McKibben and Ed Sunderland. Amazing, amazing men. You want to say that they were like almost the founders of athletic training.
They were
so experienced and know everybody. And Oklahoma is such a sweet and, you know, knit spot for athletic training. It's You know, when you're in Oklahoma, like everybody knows who you are when you're in athletic training. And again, that's part of the reason why you want to be in it, because it's a lot of relationship building. It's a lot of fun, and it's a passion. It's a hobby. It's not even work at that point. You know, it's a lot of fun doing what you do for a living. So anyways, they opened up not only college athletics to me again in the graduate setting, but more in the other settings of physician extender, clinical and clinic of PT, so per the hospital, and then a private practice to show the true difference of like how one is ran by like, you know, heavy insurance, and then one is ran by like, I'm going to take cash or so and so forth, you know, versatile. And the other big one was I got to work the IFR, so the rodeo.
Oh, yeah, now
yeah,
we're
that
talking.
Was super crazy. Craziest injuries you've ever thought about. And they just kept going. You know, you tell
and they don't stop
your
for a
wrist
few
is
days,
broken.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your wrist is broken. You can't perform. He's like, no, you're going to tape this up and I'm going to finish this. I'm like, okay, sir. Okay.
Putting my hat back on and I'm getting on that steer. Let's
yeah.
go, baby. Yep.
Oh, so anyways, so after that, I was lucky enough to build a lot of relationships again through conferences, through volunteering at every possibility you can think of as an athletic trainer, just to network of who you know, and got my first job at Owosso High School, working with your traditional sports. I had football assigned to me, I had basketball assigned to me, and then I had baseball assigned to me. That was really great. I didn't realize that Oklahoma high school sports were that big. Like if you think like Texas schools, Oklahoma had the same ones. So there was a lot of pressure, you know, a lot of talking to the parents.
Oh, yes.
And then, yeah, there was a lot of give and take there, but at the same time, still understanding, like I'm still the subject matter expert and I still have laws I have to abide by. But then family matters came into the place of, I do want to go closer to home now. Our family was growing. So I was, again, lucky enough to get a NAIA division athletic trainer position. At first, my first year, I started as just men's basketball. And then sadly enough, as most know, schools cut programs and budgets. So the second year, they added men's rugby. Both seasons, so 15s and sevens.
Oh boy,
oh
that's
yeah,
plenty of work right there.
Yes, so that was full time all year, and then men's basketball is pretty much all year, and then as well as women's field hockey, men's lacrosse. It was a lot, right? So the burnout was starting to become very heavy that second year. So that's when I started looking of like, okay, I don't know if I can keep up with this. And when one year had cuts, the next year was, you know, there was a lot of talk whispered Janner that, hey, this is probably going to happen. And shortly after, I guess the following year, that school actually ended up dead closing, which very sad to say, but luckily I was able to get the position at the Army. So here's where we go into the military setting. The Army, was a friend from Oklahoma. Actually, he was a dual Army reservist and AT. So he was going on deployment. So I was able to take over his spot actually with Vanesco to be the full-time embedded military police athletic trainer.
When you say Vanesco, what does that stand for?
That was the contract
Got
holder.
It. Okay. Vanesco. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So the military doesn't, well, for this position, they don't really hire those GS positions at that level. It's more of the contract roles. I took over the woman's spot of working the military police. I had 795 and 701st brigades. And let me tell you, what an eye-opening experience it was to work with the basic training unit. I had went from, you know, college athletics, high school athletics to now, if you think about it, general pop, right? Because they're basic trainees. Some of them.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Some of them played sports. Some of them did not. When you ask some of them, why did you decide to join the Army? They'll tell you, you know, the video games were really cool and they wanted to do the video games in real life. And I was like, okay, here we go. Let's do this. You know, so there was a lot of more of that injury prevention and education side of people that have never ran, never rucked, never did a lot of things active in their life. So again, that was one of the things where we had to come in as more of that quote unquote injury prevention mitigation or specialist of prepping them more than anything rather than our true jobs of like all the other things, right? So the biggest thing that we saw in that setting was your stress injuries. So all up and down that, again, you never really know or have seen as like the traditional setting, because that's, you're usually seeing like ankle sprains or ACLs and so forth, right? This was a totally different aspect. So you had to really change your whole entire dynamic and adapt to the needs of what the Army needed. So one of the big push that I didn't know, so I treated every person the same, a commanding officer, basic trainee, sergeant, everybody was the same. You're in green on green in my office. I have no idea what level you are. I mean, I could probably guess, like, you probably, you know, by your age of what you look like compared to like the folks that come
of course,
in.
Of course.
Yeah. But I never really paid attention to it of like, you're just coming into the athletic trainer. I'm here to help you. I'm here to help everybody have this conversation. It is going to be a little fun depending on the phases of training. If it's red phase, yeah, that's no fun. That's like the first 2 weeks that like, we can't do anything at all. Like we even have to act strict. And that was really hard to do, you know? And then like, meanwhile, in my black phase of like, oh, you graduated basic and now we're in our MOI, like our true training. You know, if you're in for rehab, we're playing Cupid shuffle, doing like the booty band to like get the gluteus med to start firing.
Having fun, getting active.
Yeah, we
definitely
make it fun.
Definitely.
So anyways, the one star general showed up in my office and I didn't know about this. You know, I was just like, oh, hi, sir. You know, green on green. Hello, sir. How we doing? How can I help you today? While I have like a buttload of students in my chairs waiting to be seen for me for sit call. And he's like, I just want to know why 70 something percent of the first year of my trainees are coming in and they're getting out. And I was like, well, sadly, we're not training them properly. You know, like we have to understand that not everybody is as athletic as they used to be, and they're coming in not prepared or ready. So we have to take the time to like actually build the stamina up for them to actually be able to do the things that you're wanting them to do at that pass rate that you want them to do. So I don't know what happened from there, but he was like, yeah, let's do whatever this girl said.
He so must have had more than one star on his shoulder then. That's kind of cool.
Right? So he actually put me in a lot of meetings with like the chain of command at higher levels of like, hey, what are you seeing? Because I would do my due diligence of like, hey, here's the trends, company A or whoever, of hey, this is what's going down. This is how many people I'm seeing. These are the injuries that I'm looking at. Here's what, you know, kind of those red flags that we're looking for. And my go-to was, what do you need from me? I don't necessarily want to take them out of training because it's not going to do anybody any good. And my back in the day was like, motion is lotion or emotion is medicine. You know, like we have to keep moving them. The last thing you want to do is just have them sit on the sidelines.
They're going to be bounced at that point, right?
Exactly. So what we decided to do was anytime that they got on their quote unquote profile or light duty was, how about instead of PT with the drill sergeants or the drill instructors, you're going to go see athletic trainer Ashley and she's going to put you through whatever you can, whatever your limitation is. If there was too many of them, because during the cycle, depending on the cycle, so like summer surge, everybody was in cycle, right? Because that's the heaviest season. I would be able to teach the drill sergeants of, hey, here's your limitations. Here's a program that you can still put them through. So they actually divvied up some of the drill sergeants to do that rehab or that quote unquote morning PT.
Oh,
with
that's
them.
Awesome.
Yes. And then I would be able to just walk around my pad of like every, you know, the battalion and making sure everyone was good. Because again, there's only one of us. There's thousands of basic trainees, drill sergeants, everybody. So once they saw that and like the students not falling out and being able to do this, or even if it was a ruck, hey, let's sit in the back with Miss Ashley and say like, hey, let's only do like 5 pounds. Let's start with just your backpack. Make sure your boots are tight and don't be in the very front or with that like amount that they're looking for just yet. And then we did walk to run programs rather than just only walk or only run until you're dead, right? I worked very well with the physical therapist that was my overseeing note signer, if you will. But she was very good about like, hey, Ashley, if there's questions, let me know. And she would, if I didn't know the answer, she would tell me instantly, or like help me work through the problems that I had of like, hey, what other things can we do? Because she was actually an army physical therapist. So there was things that, like, of course I didn't know because I wasn't the actual army person. I was just the athletic trainer. So it's one of those things of still a lot of give and take of, I'm still going to understand what you're doing. It may not be exactly the actual movement, but I'm going to give you what you can that's as close to that movement that, or the task that it is that you're supposed to be doing. And from there, I got buy-in of the drill sergeants asking, hey, you want to come to the field with us? You want to come to the course with us? Do you want to rock with us? And I did. I was like,
Hell
hey,
yeah, I'd
well,
be all
guess
over
what? We're
that.
going to hold
Definitely.
off. Ashley's going to go do this. If it meant like closing down my sick call for a couple hours and then like rearranging my schedule, getting there at 5 a.m. or 4 a.m. or shoot, sometimes it was 3 a.m. to start the walk at 4 o'clock. You're gonna do it. You're gonna endure the suck with them to show, like, hey, I'm here for you. I'm gonna do this with you, and we're gonna just march on, right? So with that, they liked me so much, and somehow my name got moved up into, hey, the Marine Corps is hiring athletic trainers for a pilot program. I think that you would be great. They gave me all the contact information. We talked, and then I went there. Started
And
the program there.
you spent a few years there too.
Yes. So started with 10th Marines, which was phenomenal. Loved my commander. He was very honest with me of like, I don't know what an athletic trainer is. I don't know what you do. So it was a lot of education. Hey, I'm gonna tell you guys exactly what we are. We're not just those water girls. Yes, we do a lot of, preparation, hydration, things like that, but there's a lot on this side too. So let's hammer in what you're looking for. So I asked what the need was first before I even like poached of who I was. Let's talk about what your need is first, and then I will tell you how I can help assist. The need was, again, injury mitigation and making sure everybody was still quote unquote deployable if needed. Light duty was a huge thing. So again, that was where I took, okay, they go to sit call with corpsman. Corpsman will then refer, if it's an MSK, will refer to me of like, hey, go see Ashley. She will see what needs to be done. The cool thing about the Marine Corps was, with us being embedded, they could see the athletic trainer any day during our hours time. They didn't have to have like a 1 or 2 day. They didn't have a 6 week wait. They could come in the day of injury or whenever they pleased of injury. Like if they thought they knew what they were doing to get better, to give themselves a couple of days and then come see us, that was fine too. But they didn't have to like schedule to get seen out weeks in advance, right? So that it was very much welcome, first come, first serve type thing. There was times where my counterpart, Keith and I, we had a shoulder day of like six Marines working, doing the same stuff, knee over here, because we were just bombarded of everybody that couldn't do PT. So they were doing PT with us in a limited capacity, but still being able to do what they needed to do, to still get a good sweat, to still be able to not quote unquote be on that true light duty status. So then again, a lot of education, taking your stats, doing your due diligence of here's the trends, here's what I'm seeing, here's what we're doing, here's how many people we saved from light duty or getting referred back to the other physical therapist or sports medicine or whatever the case may be. Here's what we were able to do. When they saw that, they were like, holy cow, how do I get you in to see, for dental? Maybe I shouldn't have said that. But anyways, military will actually laugh about that. So it was just good because, you're showing that like I'm here for you guys once more. I'm here, I'm gonna work around your schedules. I'm gonna be open. I'm gonna have that open door policy. And the command liked it as I'm keeping your people in as much as possible, like in-house rather than referred out. You can have open line of communication with me as long as it doesn't get into that gray of HIPAA of, hey, yes, I am seeing your person. He is doing better. Here's my timeline, but nothing more than that of, anything that is vulnerable. And then, you get the guys that have you're noticing they're not performing the way that they normally do. And then you ask them, like, hey, what is there something else going on? And as they continue to open up to me, that's when I started thinking, I need to start, making my connections of the referral process. So the chaplain, the MPs, the clinical psychs, so behavior health. So we actually decided to come up together. I reached out to everybody of, hey, this is what's going down. How do we all kind of address this? How do we all work together? They found ways to do it. You know, I don't know the military setting or how they approach it, but once they kind of saw us all intertwining together, this is when I was at MLG. They broached it of to the commanding general of like, hey, this we need a holistic health. So everyone was again working well together. They had a lieutenant colonel that started putting all the programs together. Commanding General Solid is a huge light at the end of the tunnel of like for his Marines. Like when they see like this many people are going to the athletic trainer, well, does that mean they're on light duty? No, sir. This is the good thing. The AT is keeping them in the fight for you, so that way like they are going to be your deployable unit. But again, when there's an injury, does it always mean it's superficial? Does it always mean it's just MSK? If we're not performing, are there other things? So it was that multidisciplinary approach. So as I started to see that, and again, I became very close friends with the behavioral health and mental health associates. It was just eye-opening. And even the chaplain too, you know, like he even was like, man, it's kind of hard getting like to talk to some people. I'm like, well, come to the AT room. It's everyone talks.
They don't shut up on some days.
They don't shut up. And if they do shut up, that's like a huge red flag to
1,000%. Totally, totally, totally. This is so
us.
cool to hear that it there are so many. So I work at an all-boys Catholic school, and as you're talking, I'm sitting here going, yep, check, 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 check. It is multidisciplinary because you have to treat the person as a whole. We're fortunate here. We're very close with our counselors, our licensed marriage and family counselor on campus as well. And obviously we have chaplains galore, but just because you're in the military doesn't mean you don't need all that. You got to. And it's up to us to sometimes instigate it. Maybe the other side instigates it, but we're taking care of a person, sometimes a kid, 18 to 22, right? And they need a whole body, holistic, multidisciplinary approach. And it's so cool to hear you pulled that off in the Marines. How awesome is that?
Yeah, it was a, I want to say it was a lot of work, but it wasn't at the same time because a lot of people already had that same mindset. And to be able to see, you know, just the civilian kind of like help push it and then see the suits, I call them the suits, but the green side push through, it was phenomenal, you know, and to be part of the team that actually kind of saw it flourish again was super, super cool. I mean, I absolutely, again, one of my things, I love connecting.
Elevate your knowledge, ignite your curiosity, and compete with the best minds at events hosted by the American Academic Competition Institute. AACI's sports medicine competitions feature practical exercises, challenging quizzes, specialty tests, and keynote speakers that foster knowledge and social engagement in healthcare and sports medicine. Go to AACITest.org for more information on upcoming regional and national competitions. Sign up for the Ultimate Intellectual Showdown.
I loved bugging my chain of command. Like I really did. I, as much as like they follow that chain of command in that world, I was the person that I actually did to my benefit of, hey, I'm a civilian. I don't have the chain of command. I did go sit in the colonel's office. I did go sit with chief of staff and have coffee chats with him. I would talk, you know, I'd banter at him and talk, you know, talk shit to him in the gym. Like, sir, you know, like we need to fix this. We need to fix this. And so it was just fun, you know, of like, especially when you're in the gym with them, working out at 5 a.m., 6 a.m., whatever it was, to show like, dude, I'm here with you. We're gonna do this together. It meant the world to them to know like, hey, my AD is a badass hanging out with us. Like she's her biceps, she's lifting more than me, which again, like you're not really doing that. That's not really my job. But at the same time, my job is to build that relationship and trust. So if it means, you know, doing curls next to you, I'm gonna do that, you
Whatever it takes. That's so awesome. So, but it takes the right type of person, right personality to do that. Not everybody's capable. So, great networking skills, great communication skills. You have to be willing to put yourself out there, not be afraid. And chain of command, you got to be willing to go, well, yeah, like you said, hey, that don't matter to me. Let's get rolling. Come on, I'm coming right to you. I like
Yep.
that. I
Hey, you
love
want me
that.
to grab a coffee? If you bring like good coffee, they'll love you. But if the one I will never forget this, they said, if you ever bring Folgers to me, I'm gonna kick you out of my office. Luckily, we did have a Starbucks on base. So yes, I was the nice one that like would bring in
There
the
you go. You got to know the way to a person's heart. Yeah. And good
You
coffee.
really do.
I'm
You
right there
really
with
do.
that. Well, that is so cool. And getting that multidisciplinary approach to take care of their recruits and them seeing the buy-in and them realizing, hey, you're one of us. You're helping taking care of us. You're making sure that our boys, our women, our men, they're ready to do whatever we need them to do. That's a completely different look than just hiding in the clinic and, oh yeah, you're fine. Go outside, stretch. Go get away from me. You're showing the buy-in. You're showing the value. You're showing not just your value, but the value of what we do as athletic trainers. That
Yeah.
goes a long way in any profession.
I'll tell you, if I was in the clinic every single day for more than 4 hours at a time, I was not doing my job. My job was to be out on the podium, like again, 5 a.m., it's kind of cold, it's kind of raining. A civilian doesn't want to deal with that, right? But you come out, you're asked to warm everybody up before the hike or before the run. And then you get asked to take care of the guys that can't do it. And like, we're going to stay back and do prehab, if you will. There's always going to be the ones that, oh, I have shoulder issues, I can't do this, or I have hip. I'm like, all right, guess what? The one thing everybody can do is core. So we are going to go do a 30 minute
God,
full core
yes.
workout. We're tough. We're not done. Da 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 da. So again, the chain of command loved that because no excuse was good enough in my book to like just completely sit out. Having the good line of communication and banter with them, like it's the boys' club, like I it is.
I
It's
hate to say it, and it is. It really
it
is in
is.
so many ways in many fields still.
Yeah. And that's totally fine, but you have to still adapt to it and have fun with it and show that. Yeah, I'm a girl, but I'm part of this boys club. Don't get me like I'm tough. I can keep up. Like I'm gonna do this. Maybe not as good as you, but hey, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna try like hell to do it.
And I'm going to prove I can do it no matter what.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But no, it was great because they did. They loved it. They loved that. That was the mentality of, push come to shove, actually showing up.
Oh my God. I love
That
it. I
was
love it.
good. And then even my EOD unit, like with how many of them I was seeing in my clinic, they were like, hey, well, how about you just come to our office? So they made me my own office in their building so they would stop bombarding and like taking up all the spots for like other people. And I was just like, man, this is like the coolest thing ever. And then they started giving you your swag. Just recommend everything that you can think of, like taking you to the field to watch some of their stuff, which probably shouldn't have done, but they let me
Hey,
do it
how
to truly
cool.
understand why they have so much shoulder and back pain and so forth, of like really understanding them. So they took care of me, because I took care of them, and that's what it's really all about it, fostering those relationships, fostering that trust. And making sure that you are there for them and helping them. They've been brushed off so much already that like the last thing that they want is more people telling them no or you're fine or whatever. Like I'm gonna listen to you. You're telling me that you've had pain for how many years? Okay, let's get down to the root. Let's figure this out. Even if it took me, I don't even care how long.
That's so cool. That is so cool. I love it. I love it. I love it. So you go from this, well, badass position where you're embedded in the Marines and helping them out and figuring everything out and doing basically what the typical athletic trainer does at the high school, college level, embedded with the teams. You've just shifted and gone into, well, the military. I mean,
Yeah.
wow, it doesn't get more physically demanding, mentally demanding, or taxing than that. And then you kind of do a little pivot, get back into more, if I understand correctly, more the clinical side, and then into where you're at now is talent acquisition. How did you make that transition?
When I was working for the military setting, especially in the Marine Corps, I was located in North Carolina, so Camp Lejeune. O2X is a newer program. or a newer place of work, if you will, that aligned with everything I was already doing, only they were doing it at a different speed. They had a whole organization. They had the top talent tier people coming in to do what they call workshops first. O2X actually was hiring an athletic trainer at the time at in Washington, D.C. One of the men that worked for them at the time, he was in client services. He reached out to me on LinkedIn. I guess seeing that I was a military athletic trainer, tactical, so relevance, right? Cultural competency, and spoke to me a little bit about it. I was very interested at the time. And then, so, then I got married. I don't want to say sadly, but I did get married. And he wanted to move back to the Midwest.
We'll make sure he doesn't hear that part. Okay. We'll make sure he doesn't hear that part. It's all good.
No, I loved it. I love being married, but he did move me back to the Midwest. So that's the sad part. So unfortunately I was unable to, you know, move forward in that position or in that interview process, but I maintained that relationship and line of communication of, I love your company. I love what you stand for. I mean, even the founders are three prior SEALs. So they know, you know, they truly know the need for, again, that multidisciplinary approach. That's their whole approach and their whole mission of serving those who serve us, servant hearts, finding the right people, cultural competency. I mean, they're hammering down on, we got to bring in the best people, you know, again, the ones that live the brand, have those servant hearts, best of the best, willing to go above and beyond for these, not just military, but then your firefighters, law enforcement, government agencies, you know, the support teams of America, right?
Everybody that serves. Yep.
Yes. Yes. It was heartbreaking to see that I couldn't do it just yet. Right. So, we stayed in communication for about a year, of like, what could possibly come down the pipelines? If anything's in Indiana, if anything's here or there, where can we go? Where can we go with this next? And then even when I was looking at their workshop side of presenting classes, if you will, to the tactical population on a contract basis, there was not too much just yet in the Midwest for me to even, you know, make it a
viable option. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So then as I continued to just look at, I mean, I checked the website like once a week, I'm not even gonna lie to you, of like, what's next? And like, we'd communicate every 3 months with the recruiter at the time of like, what do you guys got coming down the pipeline? I want to work for you guys so damn bad. when you have that kind of approach and that kind of personnel, you want, you know, you're going to kick down the door for them, right?
Yep.
So it just so happened that they were getting bigger and they were hiring for the acquisition role, talent acquisition role. The woman that was in charge of recruiting at the time, her and I didn't know each other just yet. I reached out and I bugged her. I'm not even gonna lie. I called her, I texted her, I hit her up on LinkedIn, I emailed her. I did everything you could possibly could to be like, I want this job so bad. Like, you know, you do that. And she's, okay.
When it's something you want, you do whatever it takes.
You do whatever it takes. Yeah. So she's like, okay, apply here. Right. So I had to reapply. I did that within seconds and I emailed her, hey, just applied. like there was no time. There was no time for anybody else to even apply for this position. You know, that's
close
that's
the position now. I'm ready. Take me, please.
So anyways, it was great. Like, her and I, the conversations we had, easy flow. She's actually my boss. So super easy flow. And then I was like, I don't know if you're gonna hire me because I'm kind of just like you. And I don't know if that's something that you're supposed to do.
Is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing?
Yeah, I know, right? And then meeting all the other people like that were above in the hiring managing team. Again, super easy to talk to. It was relaxed. It was when it just clicks, the conversation's just easy, right? When it's a good fit, you're just like, man, this is just meant to be, almost, you know, of just a beautiful remedy. But I will say that one of the questions was like, with how passionate of an AT I am, which I am, what does bring you into the talent acquisition side? So I'm going to be completely honest with you. When I say there are some really, really good athletic trainers, and then there are some really, really bad athletic trainers, it's sad to say that that is actually a thing.
So
and
true.
Nothing made me more upset about our profession with people that didn't care for it and just it's another job, or we're, and it's not sad to say this, but like money hungry. But at the same time, we deserve to get paid what we are. But when you're asking for like the compensation before anything else,
oh yeah,
of
that's
a
not a
job,
good
like
thing.
that just kicks me in the chest.
Yep.
Because we all know athletic trainers don't, I mean, we do the job, we need to get paid. I totally get it. I'm advocating for it. But if you're only here for money, like we didn't do this for money. We do this because we freaking
You're
care.
in the wrong profession. If you're getting
You
the
are in the
healthcare
wrong.
for money, yeah, no. It's got to be a love, got to be a passion.
Yes, or the ones that have really hard times working with others or being creative or making relationships. This setting is a little different. Like you have to have so many different qualities. So again, nothing pissed me off more than getting the wrong AT, especially in that military setting, embedded with me that couldn't have conversation or build those relationships with that culture. So it was almost like a mission of mine of like, I want to be in charge of this. I want to bring in the best of the best to help these people that deserve, again, good quality people. So that was one of the big things that they did ask. And I was like, yeah, it's going to be hard for me to leave the tradition of this setting. It is, because I do care and I am very passionate. But at the same time, I want to bring in good people for us. So if that's what this means, if that's what it takes, then I'm going to do it. And now we've been a year in, we're continuing to grow, making great relationships, networking a lot. Not only am I bringing in athletic trainers, but I'm also bringing in multidisciplinary approach. So we have registered dietitians, certified mental performance coaches, strength coaches, of course, and more ATs. I mean, even to the business side of things, where I'm meeting a whole lot of people that want to do the business side, the HQ side. So it's just beautiful to see that there's so many people that have a heart, you know, for this setting and for this culture that they're willing to do whatever it takes to help.
Just wow. That's just awesome. But you should be, I mean, you should bring the passion of your clinical side into when you get into the administrative side into that, because you do make a difference clinically by bringing in the right people.
Mm-hmm.
And so many forget that when they get to the administrative side. It's like, no, you're making a difference. If you get the right people taking care of those patients, those people at basic boot camp, whatever you want to call it, then you're an extension of that. And it's continued. So you should continue to have that passion of what you're doing and how you're doing. And damn it, I want the right people, because they're an extension of you now.
Yeah. So one of the questions, and it's funny you say that, when I was talking to the founder for my position. So when you talk to a founder, you know, I mean, no, it's real.
Yep.
But he asked, what questions do you have for me? And the only question I had for him is, what do you expect out of me? What are my expectations? What do you want the most? And he just said, I want you to bring in the people that want to be here. And I was like, okay. And he goes, if you bring me somebody that's the wrong fit, he will take it personally. So that just showed me even more, like there's so much more just recruiting the talent, if you will. There's just like multidisciplinary, but the holistic approach of a person too, that needs to come in to be the right fit.
Well, you bring in the wrong fit, it becomes a virus and
Exactly.
It can eat you up from the inside out. And
Yeah.
That's horrible. You don't need that.
Right.
I mean, we've all seen it at our profession at many different locations, where the wrong person just sets up a cascade of issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the higher up the chain, the worse. But that's
Yeah.
a different story. Anyway, yeah, we'll just make sure I'll shut up now. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know what? The funny thing is, and our producer and I discuss this all the time. So before we sit down, I come up with a list of questions, about 10 or 15, and we sit down, and I'm sure he told you this. And I sit there and I look at him and we fabricate and we, you know, massage them, get them ready and sit there. And then I look at him and go, I haven't used one yet. So this is so fun. I'm finally going to ask one of my questions. What advice do you give a person, individual going into base camp, and then an athletic trainer? who's looking to transition into the next stage. So I'm not saying definitely talent acquisition, but how do you help them understand the transition to their next stage?
So for the athletic trainer themselves, when they are looking to transition, I do ask them, what are your goals? What do you want out of athletic training? You know, it's so funny. A student actually asked me the other day on LinkedIn, was it worth it? And I told her, I'm like, you know what? The world of athletic training is endless possibility. You are going to meet so many people. You're going to network so many people. It's so generic. You have such a robust background. You can go into sales. You can go into talent acquisition. You can go into, I mean, there's just so many different avenues that the athletic trainer can go into. I'm like, it's just unlimiting. Like of course it was worth it. Yes. You know, the hours, pay your dues. We all did. It sucked, but it shows you, and it builds grunt and tough skin and relationships and how to talk to the director, to parents, to students. Like it just shows you who you're going to be in life. So I never, ever will regret going down that path. Yes. 60 hour, 80 hour work weeks. Yeah, they suck.
But they do. They do. Special. But they are.
And everybody before us did it. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to endure it. But guess what? It's going to show you what you're truly made of, where you want to go with it. And it's going to introduce you to so many people and possibilities of what you want to do with your life that it's, again, unlimited. So that's what I tell the AT. You know, put in what you want to put out. For the boot camp,
yes.
I always tell my guys, or back then, even if you're not in athletics, go talk to your athletic trainer at the high school and get on a program. And a lot of high schools actually have strength coaches now. Go get on programs. Hey, I'm interested in joining the Marine Corps. What do I got to do to get ready for this or the Army? They do have ROTC. Get in that program. That's even a class. They even do like a certificate, like a credit hour for it. Go get in it. My old chief of staff, actually, him and I still communicate all the time, of course.
That's so
and he
cool.
Actually, once he got out, like once he retired his chief of staff duties with the military, with the Marine Corps, he is now in charge of the ROT at the high school, and he is absolutely loving it and like showing like, hey, we're going to get you ready. Some of his students actually are not even trying to join, but they want, like, it's a fun class. So
oh, that's so cool.
Instead of taking like, you know, home room or whatever it is, I don't even know. You take this, you know what I mean? So it's just like, why would you not? It's fun. Physical activity is fun, guys. It's still
what a concept. What a concept. Physical activity is fun.
It's fun, you know.
Yep.
Marines will tell you, voluntold fun or whatever.
Oh yes. Oh yes, voluntold. Yep. Love that phrase. Just came across that for the first time this year in an episode. And
yeah.
I love that comment.
Yeah.
I also love how you said, you know, develop a little bit of tough skin, thicken your skin, because not everything is happy, happy, joy, joy, and all smiles. You're going to come up against some times tough. Where it's not, and yeah, some tough times, and you need to thicken your skin to take care of that. We were just talking about that not too long ago around here. Very important for people to understand that. I love how you bring it all together, though, by saying you got to do it with passion. You got to love it. You got to take that same energy from when you're a clinician right to where you're at now. It doesn't matter, because you're still the same person.
Exactly.
Still doing the job, still taking care of people, just in a different way.
Yep.
So what's next?
Well.
Uh-oh, should we stop the episode now before your boss
no,
gets mad? Or?
The more O2X grows, we're talking about me moving more into more roles of a lead recruiter if we continue to grow at this path, and then having new quote unquote Ashley's underneath me and showing them how to recruit and still having that passion that lies with them to bring in really good people.
I don't know if they could handle more Ashleys at your facility. that'd be a lot of work for those people, but God bless them if they can find them.
Oh no, it's good. There are some out there. We've know some. So, you know, with, and again, O2X has different platforms, if you will, so different realms I can go into. If I want to go more back into like a manager role with human performance integration, I can maybe go down that road. I don't really want to be in charge of people, you know, it's I don't. But then the sales side, you know, I kind of looked at the business development side of it just because, again, I love networking and I love to bring what O2X is providing to them. And, you know, we all have quote unquote shelf lives, if you will, of people you've made connections with. And as they continue to grow in their careers at higher levels, decision makers, and you still have contacts with them. And why not, you know, try to bring in the best company, to me, the best company ever, O2X, into what they're looking at, their needs. So I don't know. Who knows?
Well,
Hopefully, major growth within O2X. That's all I can hope for.
there we go. There we go. Major growth. I'm sure everybody likes that. And finding more Ashleys, good luck to O2X.
Finding
Yes,
me,
yes,
actually.
yes. Well, it's been very educational the last hour. This has been very intriguing. Love the information. The one thing I love is you're educating me and you're educating our listeners. That's the best part of this episode, this podcast, every episode, I learned something. I've learned more about our profession last year. And I keep saying this over and over and over, sound like a broken record, but I do. Today, I learned so much and I really appreciate it. Thank you for taking care of those that still take care of us. So that's a big thank you right there, just for everything you did for the military and still do for the military. Thank you, because without them, we're not safe. And too many people forget that.
Not just the
Anyways,
military setting, law
but
enforcement, fire, all of them, government agencies.
hey, I tell you what, I work right by the Altadena fire, and we had a lot of them all around our neighborhood. We were feeding them as much as we could. You know, we have police officers around all the time, just checking in on schools, because, well, nowadays you gotta do that. And we appreciate all of them. Anyone that takes care of somebody else, we appreciate. So thank you for taking care of them.
No, my pleasure.
Ah, good, good. And more Ashleys to come. That's the best part. So now looking back, let's look back 10 years ago. If there's something you could say to Ashley 10 years ago to prep her for where she's going, what's a piece of advice you'd give her?
Don't let the stupid people bring you down.
Oh God, I love that. God, I love that. Oh my God, Gabe, I love that. That might be the topic of the episode. I love that. Oh my God, that's a great comment. But why do you say that? Why do you quote that?
Because you're always gonna have haters, man. You're always gonna have people that underestimate you or try to tell you that you're not gonna go places or undermine your true potential, you know? And if you want to be this person, then you go be that person. Don't let anybody get in the way.
You know, that was perfect. I'm just gonna stop there, and I think that's the end of the episode, because that's a drop mic moment. We step away and just say thank you, Ashley. You were great. Oh my God, that was
Mic drop, right? Mic
mic
drop.
drop. Walk away. On that note, I want to say thank you today for joining us on Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More, Ashley King Roberts. It's absolutely been a pleasure meeting you and talking with you and becoming educated. I'm gonna make sure I work on toughening up my skin a little bit, not listening to stupid people. So thank you very much.
Listen to this. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Have
Anytime.
a great one.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Want to make sure you hear every episode? Remember to like, follow, and subscribe to our podcast. Don't forget to share our podcast with your colleagues, family, and friends. Your support will help more people find and enjoy our content. Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More is directed by Eli Hallett. It is produced by Gabriel Hallett. Our theme music is by Coma Studios via Pixabay. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are solely those of the contributors. Want to know more about us? Visit us at wrapituppodcast.com. That's with one P, wrapituppodcast.com. Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More is a production of Hallett Consulting, LLC.